talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Friday, a Getaway Friday here, the Getaway Friday of the Popcorn Festival. We are joined here on the Exchange Club. What a panel we have today. We have Sean Kraft along with us over behind the microphone. If you're watching this on video, he's the voice off of the video right now. We have Marge Hazlett, as always, who hosts Talk of the Town on Mondays from 10 to 11 a.m. and Over Coffee on Tuesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. The Faye Bank Charlie Evers Show airs right here on WWGH Radio Wednesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and right after this show today, 1 to 3. And, of course, the legendary Mr. McFeely, David Newell from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for well over 30 years, wrapping up that run in 2001, but still, as you can see and hear, in character.
Still delivering.
Still delivering. Do you foresee the day where you don't want to get in the suit anymore?
Not yet, I haven't. I enjoy going out. For instance, I was here for the popcorn parade.
Pop 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row now, and I enjoy it. In fact, we were here at the mall, Marian Center Mall, and we were sitting out in the lobby hallway and just chatting, and people would stop and ask for autographs. Somebody brought an autograph that they got last night, and we signed it. And if you're listening and watching, I'll be here till about 3, and if you have any autographs you'd like to sign, come on out to Marian Center Mall, right?
Absolutely. We're right next to the Crafter's Coop. McDonald's is in the parking lot. You can't miss the building.
You can have lunch and then come up and get an autograph.
Come on. You have 3 hours from right now. This is a live program. I have talked to a lot of people who did not like getting in character anymore. They didn't mind doing Comic Cons. They didn't mind doing that stuff. But to get in the rig again, they weren't having it after the show ended. Why are you still happy to do that? We're glad you are.
I think it has something to do with the people who grew up with Mr. Rogers. A lot of the people who maybe don't want to do that anymore, where there was an adult audience who were watching their show. We had a children's audience, and I think the residue is still there. The emotional attachment to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And in fact, the woman that you were sitting with me, the woman who came up today to get the autograph, who was a caretaker of an older gentleman, was tearing up because she remembered fondly the neighborhood when she was growing up. So I think it brings back a lot of memories. So that's one of the reasons, to answer your question. That was long-winded, but to answer your question, I think it completes the memory when I have the costume on.
She did. She teared up. She said she watched with her sister when she was young, and her sister passed away when she was 16 years old.
And that's all part of her memory, too. And it made it. But she connected that program, our program, with
her sister.
Her sister.
Yeah.
Because they did it. They watched together. So I think that's why. I think moments like that make it all worthwhile.
I think you're right.
And so that's why I do it.
Charlie, Marge, you were both in the parade last night. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was very happy to be, especially with Mr. McFeely. What I enjoy is others, or watching others enjoy meeting him for the first time or the second time. The kids, the older kids, that is, really relate to him so well. And me too, because I watched every episode.
With your children, right?
Yes, and they, little did they know that I was enjoying it just as much as they were.
Well, it was quite an evening last night. In fact, we were commenting on this. The first year, they weren't as demonstrative. I think it maybe had caught them off guard. I don't know. I think now we're building on that.
first yes. year, I think.
Last night it seemed like twice as many people recognized you right away.
Yes.
Do you want to hold your mic, Mr. McPhil?
Oh, yeah, well,
I will. Pick you up
yes, because I am talking
you're
away
you're
from
looking
it.
In the opposite direction.
Okay,
there we go.
Okay, now I'm holding it, and I guess, did you hear all that?
I got it all for you.
Much
okay,
better. There
now
we go.
I'm holding it.
And, and Marge, what were your thoughts on the parade last night?
Oh, I just loved that. And when I went home and told Penny that I had been, you know, sitting there with you and talking with you, she was really jealous. She said, I had to work. She works at Ohio State.
This is your sister.
No, this is a friend of mine.
Oh, your friend, okay.
And so she was just excited, so that's why I had you autograph her a picture, because she's going to be thrilled to death to get it.
Yeah,
because she watched you all the time.
Well, good. And I hope she gets a chance to come out before I have to go back to Pittsburgh. That's where we have taped the program all those years, and it was distributed out of Pittsburgh around the country and parts of Canada, because I have an event tomorrow that I have to attend, so that's why.
You're a busy man.
Where are you going tomorrow?
In Pittsburgh I'm on the board of the Pittsburgh Zoo.
Really?
Yes, and they're having an event that I'm involved in, and I have to be there. So, because I've committed to it, so I want to get back and do that. But the Pittsburgh Zoo you're not that far away. If you're ever traveling east and you're coming through Pittsburgh, there's a lot to see there. And the Pittsburgh Zoo especially has an elephant breeding program now.
Oh.
You know, because unfortunately, we're losing elephants to poachers.
Yes,
yes.
And I think someday that maybe zoos are the only place we're going to see animals, unfortunately. But if you can do anything, if any listeners can do anything about sending money to organizations that are trying to stop poachers, please do. It's really very important. Mm-hmm. We need to save them. And rhinos, the same thing.
They
get, oh, yes.
It's awful. At any rate.
The rhino horn.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
And this is our current event show. And don't forget the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show will follow this program today. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about zoos and things of that nature, because Charlie's highly interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, but right now, This is the current events.
Current events every week. We wrap up the week that was in the world.
Oh, well, the parade was one of them.
The parade was one of them. We threw a long ball earlier on when Mr. McFeely was on with us during the 10 o'clock hour, and that was the current presidential campaign from the aspect of children who don't vote, young children who are watching television on the internet and seeing more name-calling than anything else. Mm-hmm. And the question was, if Fred Rogers were alive today, how do you think he would be dealing with the name-calling? Forget the scandals, because that's a little complicated for children.
Right.
But the name-calling.
Yeah, I think Fred would not have liked that at all.
No.
In fact, that is a form of bullying in a way. And he was, and it's respect for others and their opinion. You don't have to call names to disagree with someone.
Right.
And that was his whole mission, is to get children to feel good about who they are, no matter what your opinion is. And I think he'd have on a panel show for adults, he would speak his mind. I don't know how he would deal directly with children about it, but I think he would, as I was telling Scott earlier, he would probably talk about angry feelings. And when you're angry with someone, you don't hit them or call them names. You try to find alternative ways of discussing something. And I don't think either candidate is doing that.
No. You know, and the sad thing of it is, isn't there anything we can do to stop some of the stuff that goes on? I'm not interested in their name calling and this stuff.
Well, we can cite around this. I mean, the person calling the names is Donald Trump. I mean, that's no secret to anybody in the world. And people can vote for who they want to. This is America, and that's what you do. But when somebody gets up there and says the names that he has said, that's what's different this time. Mm-hmm. There's always been scandal in politics. Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton. We've had scandal. What we have not had is somebody running for office say the names that he has said, what he's called people. It's almost become a branding thing. Crooked Hillary, Little Marco, Lion Ted. When somebody does that, what does that do to Society for Adults, but kids who are hearing it and watching it and their parents loving it?
Yeah, it's almost a late night talk show shtick, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the stand up comedians will find names for, you know, Little Marco, whatever, and that's a comedian, but not from a presidential candidate, I don't think.
I have said that over and over on this show, and the complaint I get is it's entertaining, and what does it matter?
Well, it is that. It is entertaining.
I agree with that.
And I think it matters in the sense that I think we're perpetuating getting used to calling names. I don't think that's right now. You know,
well, it's a form of being bullying.
Oh,
and we're talking a lot about that in schools. And I can remember years ago that children would bully each other, and everybody would just say, oh, that's just kid stuff. It was not kid stuff. And I don't see it as being kid stuff as an educator today. It's not setting a good example for our children.
No, it's not. Not at all.
And I'm worried about that.
And I think it gets to be the norm. You know, they do it enough, it gets to be, oh, well, that's okay, and then it gets worse.
Right.
So I think we need to talk about it. I think they need to talk about it in schools.
Right.
I think it would be very helpful if in a school class, elementary school class, in, say, their history or current events class, if the teacher could deal with that, not who's going to win the election, but what do you think about the tactics they're using. I think that's a good point of discussion.
And I think right here, and Sean, I want you to weigh in on this. I don't want you to get left out of this conversation. It is interesting because a presidential election is based on a lot of policy. And we're getting into that to some degree. And some people feel Republicans have the best policy. Some people feel Democrats have the best policy. Some people feel independents. But the thing, the name-calling, the thing that is entertainment, that does drive ratings on late-night television, what bothers me, and I'm coming to you on this, Sean, is that when you used to ask kids, what do you want to be when you grew up, the number one answer was president.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this the behavior of a president?
Absolutely not. I don't think so.
Charlie, is this the behavior of a president?
No way.
But why?
But most kids want to be a policeman or a fireman.
At first.
Yeah, at first, right.
But you know, we're lucky they at second and third and fourth they still want to be it because we need policemen, firemen. And, you know, there are some things that education is so important. I think we could do away with a lot of bullying, a lot of what we're dealing with. With education, but that doesn't mean that everybody has to go to college. There are some people that would do well going into a trade, learning welding, because we need welders, we need plumbers, and they make a good living.
We have a very big program in this county teaching welders. We have the Union Tank Car Company that will be for 10 years. Modifying all the tank cars in the country, and welding is the big thing.
Oh,
and we're training,
and it's an art too.
Yeah,
it really is. It's almost like being a sculptor of sorts. And so I think that's very important. People can go to college and spend 4 years and come out with a degree, and that's about it. Whereas if that same kid went to a welding school and that's what he really liked doing. That's I think what we need to dwell on too. Oh, but that's not saying that we shouldn't have more colleges and better colleges either. We need everybody to be. I think people always ask me about working with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and there's a saying, and I can't get it right. I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like, if you love what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life.
That's right.
And I don't think I've ever worked a day in my life.
I don't think I have either.
Well, it's similar, yes. And you love your job and can hardly wait to get there.
That's right.
That's important. I think Scott falls in that class.
I think so, too.
Today's work, though. Today's work.
That's one class.
Do want to let the listening audience know if they want to weigh in on anything, 740-383-9944. Also interesting in this election year, just from a broad standpoint, could have the first female president.
Right.
How would that be dealt with, in your opinion?
With Fred?
Yeah.
Ideally, he would be able to maybe talk with her on a level that a child would understand. As he did with President Clinton when he got into office, there was a children's inauguration in Kennedy Center that was taped for a cable system. And Fred, at the very end, was the last person in the hour special, and he talked to Bill Clinton for about 20 minutes, just about the presidency, not political, just about the presidency and the job that he would be going into and defining the presidency for young children. And I think he'd want to do the same thing with Mrs. Clinton if she were in it. And for that matter, with Donald Trump, for that matter.
Is it, does character matter in a national election? Because the thing we hear on the news consistently is these are the two most disliked candidates in the history. Somebody voted for them. I don't know how they got there. But the two most disliked, untrusted candidates.
Yeah.
Why?
I've been trying to figure that out. How do you get there? Why didn't the 20 other people get into the candidate position? If they were they as equally not liked? I don't know. I think Donald Trump is different. You've got to admit that.
He's different.
And he speaks his mind, according to everybody I've heard talk about it. And I think they like it's refreshing in a way, that he's speaking his mind. It's not the political rhetoric you hear all the time. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a part of it. What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah, I think so. People over the years kind of get tired of the same old campaigns, and this is the only thing different that's come along in years.
Yes, yes.
But they tell you they hate it. That's the crux. Mm-hmm. It's different, hate them.
The media is the big thing.
I think so.
The media.
I think the media drove the 2012 election, though. Mm-hmm.
They influence our thoughts, our actions. The media not only reports news, they like to make news.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you say have they made news regarding these two candidates? I don't think they need to give Donald Trump any help at all to make news.
They're constantly searching Hillary's for her emails or for comments about her emails, and they're like 24 hours a day trying to come up with things that they can pin on her.
But would you have said the same thing to the media, Woodward and Bernstein, during the Nixon administration? That didn't happen overnight that they found out that he was, did know what was going on. It took almost a year of searching and searching and searching and keeping it in the media before Nixon got into some trouble, and they did find out. A Supreme Court decision on the tapes, a matter of fact.
Well, I guess the Washington Post was doing its job.
It was doing its job. So are they doing their job with Hillary's emails?
Yeah. You know, that is a good question. It's hard to answer that. I think maybe they are. If you can only believe what you hear, they found nothing that's incriminating so far. So maybe they haven't found anything. Maybe they're doing their job. They haven't found anything.
Sean, the question is, she's not going to be indicted. They've said that's not going to happen. So why are we still picking through the emails? The FBI has said no dice on that.
Really, I really don't know. There's a reason behind it, but I think they just want to try to take her down best they can.
Do you think the media is pro-Trump? Is that the saying? Because they don't give him an easy time.
I don't think they're pro. Well, maybe in a way they are, but I don't think they. I don't know. I really don't know.
Marge, how can you criticize Trump for anything he's done in politics, because he's never been in politics?
That's right. And I really don't know how well he understands politics. I mean, I would be pressed to become a candidate for the presidency. I don't really know that much about it, only what I read. And I would like to hear what they want to do for our country and put this other stuff aside and get on with what we want to know and how to vote for the person that's going to be positive.
There's a video on YouTube. A good friend of this program, Hugh Downs, in 1992 interviewed Barry Goldwater. A lot of people are comparing Barry Goldwater to Donald Trump and the fact that they were outspoken for their time and did what they did. In 92, Hugh Downs interviewed Barry Goldwater, Charlie, and people can look this up on YouTube. And at that time, Ross Perot was big non-politician. He was the businessman. And you said, would Ross Perot make a good president? And Barry Goldwater said, if I needed somebody to fix my business, Ross Perot would be the first person I'd call. If I needed somebody to run the country, he'd be the last person I'd call, because a businessman does not understand politics,
right.
Does not understand the economy. The economy is not a business. What do you think, Charlie? Because Donald Trump is running on, this is, I'm a great businessman, I can balance this economy.
Well, that seems to be, just think of what they've said about our treasury, the fact that we owe trillions of dollars. Why wouldn't someone campaigning make that a focal point of how are we going to bring things back to reality?
Well, they do, but is a businessman the person who can do it? Does making you a good businessman make you a good budget balancer?
Sure would make you a better one.
You think? I don't know. What if your businesses go bankrupt in Atlantic City? How many times can you bankrupt the country?
but you know, Donald Trump is apparently a good businessman, but a businessman trying to run the country, you have more interference from the Congress, too.
Right.
In business, I think you can make your own decisions and carry through with a make or break for your own company. You can't do that, really, in the government. Mm-hmm. A businessman has to get permission from the Congress, right?
Well, right, and I do want to take, I really don't want this to be about Trump in this asset, but I do think there is a question of, is the national debt, which is what we're talking about here, is that best handled by a businessman? Because a businessman like Donald Trump has gone bankrupt on 6 or 7 businesses. Obviously, there were times he couldn't get it right in his budget. Charlie, why is a businessman the best person to run that? Why wouldn't it be somebody who can deal with Congress, who can get budget tax increases, decreases, spending things, somebody who can play well with others? I would think a businessman, a successful one, doesn't play well with others because they're self-made.
Right.
Congress still is the overseer of all this. I mean, how much could any president do through presidential, orders?
Vetoes?
Do anything about the budget?
Well, they certainly bring a budget, because they've shut down the government twice during Obama because they didn't like his budget. Sean, does being a businessman make you a good president?
Absolutely not. It's more than being a businessman running this country. Just because you know about business doesn't mean you're a good president.
Is being a businessman, David, to some degree, knowing how to play the game, get the right amount of tax write-offs, know how to take advantage of tax laws, working with the government?
Well, I guess that would be an advantage. I don't think being a businessman is necessarily a bad thing to be if you're ready. I think it's probably helpful. What I also think is what Mark said is, how much does a person who's a businessman, whoever it is, Trump or anybody, know about the government, about bills, about funding school, education? How much?
Right. And I'm glad we have this balance, because Charlie said that a businessman would be the best person. So Charlie, a guy who doesn't know about the bills, who doesn't know about anything, why is he the best guy?
I don't know. Maybe I take that back. Maybe I'll what do they call it?
Flip-flop?
You
flip-flop.
Yeah, right. Can I flip on that?
Flip-flop on that.
Yeah.
We flip-flop. Well, and this is the discussions that I love to have on this show, because they're not arguments, and they are discussions that people need to have, the things you learn. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two other topics I do want to get to aside from politics, but
yes,
the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. And the first one, we're going to do this
as broadly as we can. But Bill Cosby will now go on trial in 2017. The date has been set for what he's done. We're not going to talk about what he's done, but his lawyers alleged this week that it is racism. That's what they're using now. Marge, is it racism when it comes to Bill Cosby?
I really don't know how to answer that. I did meet him. He was at a hotel working with children when I met with, or when we met with him, and the kids just flocked to him. They enjoyed him, and he was at the pool site, more or less babysat all day long, and the kids really enjoyed him. And I can't hardly believe he did these things. I don't know. I was only there for a week, but had a lot of conversations with him. Did not get that feeling that he was that kind of person.
Sean, is it racism?
No, because wasn't some of them African Americans that he alleged?
They were, but what they're saying is that all these women, you know, over 50 now, who've come out, he couldn't have done it all. Mm-hmm. And that they're attacking him because he was a powerful black man, and they want to take him down.
Well, I don't know.
Could it be racism?
No, I think a lot of people are going to that nowadays because it's out in the open. But I don't think so.
Charlie, is it racism?
No. That term is brought into play so many times as an excuse, but it doesn't float.
And this is, I'm going to ask it a different way to David, because this is really interesting, because I know a lot of people, when they think of Bill Cosby, think of The Cosby Show, but he did a show that I watched for years that was similar to Mr. Rogers, called Picture Pages.
Yes,
it was a learning, and Fat Albert was even designed to be a teaching program.
Fat Albert was one of the best children's shows I remember. It was animated, but it was very good.
And that's right along your time on the PBS network.
Yes.
That being said, how do you juxtapose a 79-year-old Bill Cosby, legally blind, on trial for raping over 50 women, this man who was America's father, educational programming? How do you hold those two thoughts in your mind?
Oh, I don't. It's inconceivable to me, as
Mark
said. It really, I think the term racism coming into the whole picture now is probably, not that it's honorable, but it's probably a smart move on the lawyer's part to get something else thrown into the case that they're fighting to get him exonerated. So throwing that in helps their cause, I guess, which is not necessarily honorable either.
I'm always amazed at why they wait so long to bring that stuff out.
I think they're working on got to figure something out after a while,
I think that's what it is, too.
What?
I do think in the long run it may come to some agreement. He's 79. You know, if all of these things are true, and I hope they aren't, but at the same time, I feel sorry for the man.
I do too.
He had a son that was murdered.
Yes, It was an accident. It was tragic.
Murdered on the side of the road, Ennis.
Yes, that's right.
Now the question then becomes: can you hold Bill Cosby the person and Bill Cosby the television star, children's host, in two separate categories, because every show he's done has been yanked from television?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
Cosby Show does not air now. Picture Pages no longer airs. He has been basically ripped off of television.
Well, I think that's the networks, whoever do it, that's their decision, and they probably feel they need to do that. Boy, I do think, well, he's an actor, too. And the television, the persona we see is one person. The real Bill Cosby, I don't think we'll ever know who that is, really. But that's who's up for trial.
Was there any persona at all to Fred Rogers?
No.
That was him?
That was him. The only persona there was that he was... he had a great sense of humor. He was as funny as anybody I know, very quick-witted. And you wouldn't see that on television as much as you would in real life. But his mission, what he talked about on television what is what he really believed. It wasn't a script by any means, or it was his mission to get this information out to families with young children.
And I think we are getting a call. Go ahead, caller.
Hi there. I just want to say about the Bill Cosby thing, racists don't wear name tags. I mean, yes, he had a TV persona, that's one thing, but, I mean, that could have, you know, you can't really say just because he was a great guy on TV and could put on the, you know, or whatever. I wholeheartedly think he could have did that. And I also agree with that was a good move on the part of the lawyer throwing in the race card. That gets some of the attention off of him.
Do you think they should take his shows off the air because of what he did?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
And if somebody else would like to weigh in, 740-383-9944. The issue with taking the shows off the air is there were other people on those shows, too.
Right.
And they're getting hurt.
They're getting hurt because they all get residuals. And some actors live off of their residuals. And so, yes, that does hurt. And Bill Cosby is pretty well fixed. And he can afford the best lawyers, which he is doing. It'll be so interesting to see how this plays out, but I do feel, in all of the horrible things that are mentioned, I still feel sad for him because, if it's true, I think there, in Marge as a psychologist, he needs some help.
Right.
He needs psychiatrists more than he needs lawyers, really.
Right.
So
if he did do these things.
If, yes.
You know, it's interesting because the urban myth that went around for years, and I think it's a myth, you'll be the one to tell us, about Fred Rogers was he had tattoos all up and down his arm. Where did that come from?
I don't know, but right now you're all hearing it. It is totally false. Not a bit of truth in it. I don't know where it came from, with the exception it may have come from, we had a floor manager on our program, a guy who says, you're on the air, that type of job. His name was Nicky, and he had tattoos on his arms, on his chest, a nicest person you could meet, but he had all these tattoos. And I think when we would have at the same time people coming in, interviewing Fred and observing the taping, and they would see Nicky, who is quite a contrast to Fred. And I think that would get wrapped into their story and then bent out of shape. Mm-hmm. But no, ladies and gentlemen, listening to WWGH, that is absolutely not true. He was not a Vietnamese sniper or didn't have tattoos. He couldn't have been. I've known him for 40 years, and not one tattoo did I ever see.
What did he make of stories like that?
I think, he knew of it, and he said, at some point, what can you do but chuckle? You know, because it's not true. So,
well, you know what I always thought? 30 years on the air, I thought, what if one time he just would have worn short sleeves?
That's true. Well, he didn't. But one time, he was an avid swimmer, and that was his exercise. He swam a mile a day. And one time, we did a remote, and this was to be a lesson for children to exercise. And here's how I exercise. I swim. And he swam, and we shot the footage of him swimming in the pool. And if you can ever see a tattoo, that's when you can see it.
That's right. That would be it.
That would
be the day.
No. And if you went full proof, it's on NET. No, it's on Netflix. That's it. And what is NET? Netflix and Amazon.com. You can still see Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and sometimes on PBS Kids. So,
not true.
Not true. Not true at all. And then the jokes that Eddie Murphy did on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, did he like those?
He thought they were, what did he call them? He called them affectionate. And in a way they were. He wasn't being mean-spirited, Eddie Murphy. He was taking advantage of something that would make a good parody, yes. But he wasn't being mean, and I think Fred saw that. We met Eddie a couple times because they wanted Fred to surprise Eddie on Saturday Night Live as a surprise, but that never happened. But he called it an affectionate spoof, is what Fred called it. So I think that's where that's his thought.
Were there spoofs or jokes he did not like?
There were. There were some mean ones. There were some on the radio, morning drive time shows that would say, kids, in Fred's voice, the DJ, get the hairspray and get your dad's cigarette lighter and push the buttons at the same time and watch what happens. And you know what would happen. That's irresponsible. However, you know, if it's an adult audience, it's funny. But it's not funny because this person on television talking to children really is serious about the welfare of children. And to say a joke like that seems to demean it, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's what he didn't like. He did not like demeaning humor, and that's what bullying is, and that's what calling names is, a demeaning. And last night I was watching on television, flipping by, and they have these roasts on television of actors, you know, a bunch of actors roasting other actors, and they're pretty, they're really, really in bad taste, I think. But they laugh. They're laughing at them, and boy, the bar has been lowered yet some more. But I don't think if I were one of those, the roastee, I guess you say,
yes.
I would want to be roasted on national television with vulgar language.
It'd be different. It'd be an absolutely different thing. With 9 minutes left in this program,
yes.
Again, the phone lines are open if somebody wants to call in, 740-383-9944, if you have an opinion on anything being said. Mr. McFeely will be along with Charlie Evers for the next 2 hours on the mm-hmm. Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show. Lots of giveaways.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers items and Cedar Point items and pestos, or not pestos, to die for cupcakes and bowling games. But the last subject we want to broach in this hour with 9 minutes left to go is 2 weeks ago, I can't think of his name, but the football player decided
yes.
not to salute the flag. Well, that was the story last week. Well, this week, another football player last night decided to stand down in support of the other football player.
And who was that?
I can't think of his name.
Okay.
Sean, can you look his name up? Player last night who didn't salute the flag. It should be one of the big stories. We'll get that in just a second. But a thing, because he took so much heat. Jim Brown from the Browns said he was well within his rights to do it, shouldn't be punished. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said the same thing. Muhammad Ali did not salute the flag in this country, stand for the national anthem.
And he didn't go to he wasn't drafted either, right?
Refused to go to the draft. We look at these people as heroes. Did the football player do the right thing? I guess that's question number one.
I don't know if he did the right thing. He did the thing that was right to do. I mean, in his right to do in this country, I guess you look at it that way. Well, President Obama's come out and said there have been other players that have not. And that is a right they have. Like everybody says, the Second Amendment gives them rights to own guns. Well, in a way, this is similar to that.
Freedom of expression.
Yes.
It's in there.
And if you're, I think the freedom of expression, if you're a national figure, you can call someone a name, so to speak, because you're in the public eye. I think where it's not allowed is if you're a private citizen and somebody attacks you verbally. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know, but it's an interesting balance.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say to that. I can see where he's coming from. This country certainly isn't perfect. You know, no country's perfect. And if that's his feeling, that he doesn't want to stand because there's something that he feels is unfair, well, then so be it. We put it in our Constitution. It's your right.
Charlie, what do you think?
Well, even President Obama said that, yeah, that was his right. But there is a thing called respect,
mm-hmm.
and that was totally lacking. Respect for this country, respect for the flag, and also the the fact that he was doing an act like that and exposing the views of all the children watching football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good at all.
No. When your slogan for president is Make America Great Again, are you being respectful to America today? Are you saying America's perfect today and everything's wonderful? What do you think, Charlie?
Oh, okay.
No, I
think
the reasoning
America
there was
as great as it is, and that's kind of an empty statement, but yet it's politics, and it sounds good in political campaigns. Yes, we're going to make everything better.
But if he can say that, can the football player not say America's not perfect?
I don't know. Maybe he'd have to stand up and say America's not perfect.
Well, I think you said it, Charlie, that he has the right to do what he did. You agree to that?
Yes.
But you're right.
Well, that's the second part with 5 minutes left to go. Should he be punished for it because he is?
I don't think so, no. But I do think the respect is the important word. I think if that would have been me, and I can't speak for anybody, I would not have done that if I felt like he did. I think I'd go along with my teammates and respect them, too.
Right.
And I think that is, but that's not, respect is not part of the law. You know, you cannot respect.
Sure. If a person from a different country becomes an American citizen or is just here on a visa, should they not stand during the national anthem? Is that okay for them?
Hmm. Boy. Now,
now we're getting in deep waters. Because if the theory is, because you're an American, even though it's your right not to be respectful, you should. If you're not an American, but you're here legally, should you be able to just sit down and say no dice?
Well, I'll give you an example. My son is a avid hockey fan, professional hockey. And in Pittsburgh, the Penguins play a Canadian team every once in a while. And at the beginning of the game, they play the American, the Star-Spangled Banner, and then they play the Canadian. And we all stand for the Canadian national anthem. And I think that is a respect we're showing our friends in Canada and our friends anywhere in the Olympics. I would stand for any country's, mm-hmm. Well, there might be some few exceptions.
I do want to get this.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick was the person who originally did not stand, and then okay. Eric Reed, thanks, Sean, is the person who last night decided not to stand up.
Eric Reed.
Now, the question then becomes, if you are in a country... we did a show, the Confederate flag was a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Can you stand for both the American flag and the Confederate flag?
Boy.
And I think we're getting a call on that note.
We are getting a call.
I think we are. Caller, are you there? Did we get him? Go ahead, caller.
I think you need to respect your country you're living in. If you're unhappy with it and you want to make change, I understand that. Okay, so let's make the changes. But I still think this is the best country in the world to live in. If they don't think so, then they can get on the boat and leave.
I don't think he said this wasn't the best country in the world to live in. I think he was doing it in protest of the African Americans who were killed. He feels unjustly.
Okay, then that's fine. Let's take care of that problem. Let's not blame the country for it. I mean, if you know, this is the best country in the world to live in. If you don't believe it, go somewhere else. And you'll probably find out in a hurry that it is.
Just because we're on limited time, is it the best country to live in the world because we have the Constitution, which says you are allowed to do this?
I'm not saying that he isn't allowed to do it, okay? That's people die into the fact that he's able to say and do what he wants to do. But on the same token, out of respect for the country, he ought to. And yeah, you got the freedom to do whatever you want, but you got to pay the consequences for those actions.
Should he be punished?
No.
Okay, that's the question.
He's probably being punished now by all the controversy.
Right, he did get punished.
Yeah. So
should he have been?
Well, he said a controversial.
So. No.
You know, anytime you say a controversial
punished?
Statement, you're going to have
punished?
That problem.
I really don't know. I probably yes. I say yes.
Oh, you think he should be punished?
Yes.
Charlie, should he be punished?
Well, he'll get his punishment. We won't have to punish him ourselves. He will live with a lot of punishment the rest of his life.
Is that right?
Sure.
Marge,
I mean, you should have thought before.
You have to live with what you say.
So if he's going to be punished, he should be punished then for an act that wasn't...
And before he signed his paycheck for $19 million a year.
Right.
Well, he should salute the team flag then, shouldn't he, for that one? Not the American flag. The American flag is going to take the tax dollars out of that paycheck.
Good.
I don't know. It's a funny thing. In America, it's the greatest country in the world. We certainly don't want to say anything but that. But there are certain rights that we have that make it the greatest country in the world.
And that's one of them.
And that's one of them. And I don't know that you should ever be punished for it. I think that's what we're not supposed to do. That's what the framers said.
In this country, you have the freedom to say anything you want, but you have to pay the contract.
I guess we still got somebody on the line. Go ahead. Sorry, caller, are you there?
Yes, I mean, you can say anything you want in this country, as long as it doesn't incite violence. But the problem is you're going to have to live with that decision to make that statement or that or those words that you use, because people are going to dislike it. So if his punishment is people not liking what he said, then so be it. They have a right not to like what they
say. But he didn't say anything. He just didn't stand up.
Okay, that he was making a statement. We have a right to make a statement. We didn't really care too much for that.
But that's a statement, too.
It is a statement. I guess maybe... I think if he had not said what he had said afterwards, why he was doing it, it probably wouldn't have been a big a deal. But in my opinion is I don't think he should be punished, because that's what we do here. We say what we want, and we've done it on this show today.
But it may be a lesson for other people who are thinking doing the same thing to see what he got and so forth. So... maybe somebody will think twice. Okay,
we're about done here, but go ahead.
But he didn't take a cut in pay for it. Nobody is, you know, put him in jail for it. No, you know, public opinion. I mean, when you make a statement, you got to put up with the public opinion with that statement. That's not being punished. That's just a fact.
Well, okay, public opinion, I guess, drives the country then. But would his team care? And this is the question we can't answer. Would his team care to fire him if the public didn't cover it? Would the team owner really have been so angry that he would have said, get out of here?
Well, I guess, is that his right to?
That's his right to, I guess. You have a right to do whatever you want. What about those towels that are made of the American flag? It's a very strange world, what people get angry for.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me so much. I think it's all an element of respecting the country. And they think that it's not. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. But I can see where people would be upset.
Especially veterans. And I think it all goes back to Betsy Ross. And that's all the time we have. Faye, you make Charlie Evers Show coming up in 10 minutes.
Time. I was traveling a lot. But also, the other thing is that I didn't catch on early enough that my mission was to be a spokesperson for a natural world.